This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. To my right sits John, and across from me is Travis. And today we're going to be talking about the Word of God in regards to seasons.
So we're in this time of year. We're getting into the second half of winter, hopefully. And hopefully I'm not alone on this, but I feel like this is the time of year where I start to go, okay, winter was nice. I'm ready for the next season. This got me thinking about the seasons in our lives, and Scripture has some things to say about this that we'll talk about in just a minute. But before we get into that, I have a question for us to talk about here, and it feels like almost like a dating game question.
Excellent.
What is your favorite season and why? Travis, let's start with you. What do you think?
I appreciate all of the seasons because I like the change.
Very diplomatic.
You know? But yeah.
They have no feelings this season. You can just say, I don't like.
But it was the dating game thing through me. I don't want to let anybody down. But each one, you can find stuff that you like. Winter, I like Christmas. Summer's awesome because you can go to the beach. Spring, like you're coming out of cold, dark winter. And you're like, oh, there's life again. And fall's my favorite. I like when the leaves are changing. There's still warm days, cool nights. To be able to have campfires and mountain biking super good up here in the fall, and football season kicks off. Oh, yeah. And there's just a buzz in the air for fall. You've got to start to get everything ready for winter. That's my favorite season because of those things.
Yeah, I think for me, I will tell you that I absolutely hate spring here. Nowhere else that I've lived, but here I hate spring. It's like the dirtiest, muckiest, nastiest time of year. It's unpleasant. Your hands are always cold. It feels like it's colder than winter. And so there's my negative one. I like summer. You know, you have those 13 glorious weeks. Really.
Days.
Well, it seems like summer starts on July 4th here. I think that's why we celebrate like it's 1999 every time. It's not only the independence of our country, but it's summer for us. So I do like summer. The pace of it is a little bit different. I like that you can go outside in the middle of the evening and it's still light out. We live in a weird place in that sense. Daylight is long and...
Bugs are plentiful.
Bugs are plentiful, yeah. But I enjoy that part of the season.
I'll go with the negative too. I'll go with you on that. Growing up 300 or so miles south of here, we never really had much of a fall. So I've always hated fall. It feels like a waste. And now this is the thing. I would always say that spring is my favorite season. But Levi, I've heard you talk about spring here, and I'm starting to get worried that I'm going to be very let down this year, and I might have to change my ways.
If you like dirty snow and the imminence of you're going to fall on your bum at any moment because at night everything freezes and you get like a little dusting of snow. And yeah, if you like that, hey, that's good for you.
Here's what I've liked about spring in the past, being south of here where things are a little bit more mild. I just love the transition from everything being dead to now we're starting to get a little bit warmer every once in a while, little hints of it. You know, I'm from the Chicagoland area originally, and even there we would call it fake spring because you'd get spring for a week and then all of a sudden we'd get snow and it would be freezing again. So I see that. But I love the transition. I love the kind of sense of new life that spring, in my past experience at least, has brought. So it gets us to this topic of all the different seasons, and I think we know, if we really think about it, that every season has a purpose in the world that we live in. This, as the seasons change, there's a reason that we have kind of these cycles. And this made me think about an interesting passage from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." And it goes on and on through these kind of all, here's the different kind of seasons in our lives, the different experiences we have. And Ecclesiastes is a book that fits into the wisdom literature category in Scripture. And the idea with this is to help make people wiser. And so as we read this passage in the context of getting wisdom, how do you guys explain where this fits into Scripture and what God is trying to say to us?
I think seasons remind us of our humanity. There's good times, there's bad times. But the Lord is really everlasting. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary. His understanding of the world in which we live is unsearchable. And I think that's in Isaiah that it says that. A lot of times I think we ask those questions of why. And the reality is we are not God, and we don't have all of the understanding that he does. We don't understand why things are the way they are in some ways. We know it's not the way it's supposed to be. Things are broken. But there are seasons in our life where it's just a struggle to truly try to understand and understand, what are you doing, God? What's happening mm-hmm. within this? And I think it reminds us that we are not God.
Yeah, these truths are just a matter and a fact for pretty much every life. We experience those things. And how they are juxtaposed mm-hmm. within this passage reveals some stuff. I mean, there are times where we are going to be happy. There are times where we're going to be sad. There are times where we're going to be experiencing the birth of a child or the death of a grandparent. And so the life that we have now is not the way that God intended it to be after the fall. So we're going to have some struggles in life, but we're still going to have good things in life too. God's still good. There's still the fingerprint of his handmanship, his craftsmanship throughout all of creation. And life is not promised to be smooth sailing all the time.
I think that there's also just a component of it that there are different seasons. And some seasons are, you know, they're there for training. They're mm-hmm. there for us to gain wisdom. I remember, and all of us have sat in the classroom of seminary, and you're biting at the bit to kind of get going and get moving, and yet it's a really important endeavor in your life that you're sitting there and you're just soaking this thing. There's somebody teaching you. There's somebody developing you in that sense. And I think a lot of times people get disconnected from the season in which God has them in, and they're discontent in that. And I think that actually comes from the fall. I think the serpent tricked Eve in the garden, and the enemy seduced her. And I think it's also, there's a seduction for us that we want to get to the next stage. I remember when I was six, or I was four, I always wanted to be six. And when I became six, I always wanted to be 10. And we have those moments in our life, if I could just get to here, if I could just get to here. And we miss out on the enjoyment of the season in which we're in. Even spring, while I don't like it, there is something really cool about it. The ice is breaking up, and they put the snowmobile out there that's going to sink into the canal, and we get to bet on it, and it's fun.
That's a thing that we talk about in 33 here, the seasons of, it's a men's ministry, so it's the season of a man's life, and it goes through, you know, spring, summer, fall, winter. And we look at our lives in those aspects in that way, too. And you can see, like, when you're young, just like you said, Levi, there are different things that we have as far as opportunities for us at that stage of life where we can serve and use our giftedness, whether it's a time for training, whether it's a time for serving others in a different capacity. You know, if you're a retired, aged person in that late fall, early winter season, like, you have a lot more time to do certain things and pour into people versus if you're in your early part of your career and you're trying to establish yourself and provide for your family. So life has those components too, not just our calendar and our spinning around the sun.
As you talk about the seasons in our lives, there's lessons to be learned when we look at how God kind of set up the natural order of things with our seasons that we experience. You know, just thinking about winter right now, because that's where we're at. If you think back to kind of a more agricultural kind of a way of looking at the world, winter is the season where the land gets to rest. And it's important, you know, in places where farming and things are going on to have those seasons of rest for the land. And I think the same thing is true for us as people, that we need to look at this, the way that God has set this up, and realize that God has intentions for us in these different seasons, things that we're supposed to learn and experience, and also that we're supposed to also find rest in the midst of our lives, and that can be hard for some of us.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that the Bible talks about, and it uses that term season often, it says be ready in season and out of season. And really, in that passage, what it's talking about is to obey God's command to preach the word to everyone in all seasons. And there's times where, and we can even see it in our own country, where the word of God penetrates and people accept it and people hold to it. And then there's times where it's not in vogue and it's not the thing that people want to hear or want to respond to it. And yet the scriptures say it doesn't matter if it's, you know, the bloom of spring when you're preaching it and everyone's growing and moving. It's being consistent to continue to do this in the dead of winter where no one is accepting it.
You look at just the way God created the universe and how seasons work with the rotation of the earth around the sun. It's always moving forward. And when we walk through the seasons in our lives, we're always moving forward. We're always being called to the end goal. I mean, as Christians, we know that the end goal is eternity with God forever. One day, we don't know when that season is going to arrive for us, just like we don't know when spring might show up. We don't know when summer is going to show up and those things. But there is beauty in the journey in those things. And we sometimes just get this idea that the next thing, we get sick of where we're at, kind of that land in the middle, and we look forward to the next thing, instead of just enjoying some of those moments where we're at in life right now. And I can attest to that as a parent. Like, we just, last summer, I think it was, went through potty training. I know you're going through that with our youngest, and like, oh, if we could just get, you know, the kid out of diapers and that, you know, and it's just always this next thing to look forward to. Not that that's always bad, but we can miss some of the goodness in those moments if we're looking too far ahead.
Yeah. One of my favorite things as a parent, and I say favorite sarcastically, is when I talk to parents who have older kids and I'll be maybe complaining or talking about how hard the current season is with, you know, with my kids, and they'll say, those parents with older kids will say, just wait, you know. Or on the other side, there's often the parents of older kids or parents with adult kids will say, it goes by so fast.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that advice to have that perspective. But honestly, in the midst of it, sometimes I go, I hope it would go faster. You know, there's this both and kind of thing going on here. But there is the reality that with our children, they're going to be little for a very short time in relationship to the rest of their lives. And I think there's some wisdom in that, in savoring and enjoying the uniqueness of the seasons that we're in, even when they're hard. I think that's the message that I see in Ecclesiastes 3 as well, is, you know, that, again, we've said this already, but God is in control of every season. You know, when you look at the seasons in nature, I mean, it's the same thing. It's spoken loud and clear. God is in control. I think about that with our snow up here that we get, you know, the fact that a big winter storm can slow us down quite a bit, and that's out of our control. And I think, as frustrating as that can be sometimes, that I catch myself thinking about, oh, God, you're in control of this thing. We, as much as we think we've got power and control, you can shut us down and slow us down pretty easily.
Seasons are, I think, are really interesting as you track how societies were based and connected to them. It was down in Phoenix, and you look in Phoenix, and it's warm there all the time. And then, well, it's warm and pleasant, and then it's hot. That's their season.
Yeah.
People would move out of there, get out of the sun bowl, and go to a higher elevation. And there was a time to plant there. There was a time to reap. There was a time to sow, and there was a time to get out. And I think that there's something about the changing of seasons that bring with them an annual cycle of this. We have plenty, and we have want. We have plenty. And if you go back to one of your favorite shows that you talked about, Little House on the Prairie, Paul was always trying to have plenty and store up. And often there would be a storm that came through or something would happen and they would plan on the plenty, but there was want. And I don't think that's actually a bad thing. A cycle of that nature makes it harder to take anything for granted. It leads to celebration when there's much. It also leads to this dependence upon God. There's a proverb that talks about God. It's asking God, and it says, God, don't give me so much that I forget about you. Don't give me so little that I defile you. And I think that tension is in the cycle. It's built into it that we have this plenty and then we have want. You know, we live in the greatest, I think the greatest time ever, because I don't know what's in the future, but I think it's the greatest time ever. I mean, we can get watermelon right now. I've been eating watermelon like a mad dog, but there's nowhere it's growing watermelon up here, yeah, but we can get watermelon. That wasn't the case 100 years ago. They couldn't just get whatever. We can get all these things. They stored up their food, and man, they were hoping that was enough, and they had plenty. And then when spring comes, I think it would be just different. Like, we're getting a little low here.
Right.
And you had a, okay, God, how are you going to provide type of an idea?
Yeah. We're so disconnected in this time in history that we live in from the natural changing of the seasons. I mean, we notice when the seasons change, especially around here. But yeah, that's an interesting point. The fact that I can go over to Wally World and get just about any fruit or whatever that I want. And, you know, but I think it kind of disconnects us a little bit from the natural order of things.
That makes me think of the Psalms, just the whole like Phoenix illustration of like, there's a time to be there. There's a time to get out. And you dress accordingly, right? You're not going to wear your choppers and your chook and your muck boots out in the Phoenix summertime, but we wear those up here in winter.
Or even in the wintertime, I don't think.
Or in the wintertime. But when David was writing the Psalms and he's under distress and there's moments in his life where he's crying out to God and there's moments when he's praising him, one came to mind out of Psalm 31. He says, "But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God and my times are in your hands." And for us, no matter what season of our life, our time is in God's hands. And whether we're in the summer and we're in flip-flops and shorts, or it's winter and chooks and choppers, like, we trust in God. We dress accordingly.
In each season, we also see the beauty of God, whether it's in mourning or whether it's in birth, whether it's in winter when that first snow, I love the first snow. It quiets my heart somehow. Yeah. Everything is still. And the snow is coming down and it's so beautiful. I love it. And then I love summer, like the first time you see the plants coming out of the ground and you're like, man, that's awesome. Yep. Like, this is happening. Like, this is crazy. And the variety and the brilliance of God is on display in every season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had this theory that I've been working off of for a long time now, that the hard seasons make the easier seasons even sweeter and better. Which is an interesting thing, you know, living in places like this where it's cold in the winter when, you know, like as I said at the beginning, spring is probably my favorite season. We'll see how it goes here, but
it won't be.
But those days in the spring, you know, maybe it's early summer here, but those days when it starts to get above 50 or we'll get a mid-40s day here and there, that just brings so much life. You're talking about the first snow, which I love the first snow as well. But man, when that season changes, it's been cold, it's been hard, and all of a sudden you get this sweet day where the sun comes out and it's, I mean, even heck up here, gets up to 40. That feels pretty good compared to,
you gotta throw the shorts on. And
oh gosh. And I'm not, I know. I mean, driving down the road with the window rolled down at 40 degrees because you have those hard times in the winter and all of a sudden you have this newness and this freshness. And I think there's something really powerful in that the hard times inform the way we experience the good times.
Yeah, I also think just like if every season was exactly the same, there would be that lack of contrast, that lack of mystery, that lack of adventure. All of the seasons that we have, doesn't matter if you live in Phoenix or you live here, there is a change. And all of them really talk about God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine character, that he gave all of this. He could have fed us any way he wanted to. We would, you know, could be born and never have to eat. He could have designed us that way, but he chose to design with diversity and unity in mind that we can have this incredible adventure. And each season brings an incredible adventure. Some of them are more painful than others, but they're all an incredible adventure.
The thread that runs through all this for us here is the good news. And as we talk about the seasons, the good news is that God is with us through all of those seasons, the good, the bad. He's there with us. He's in control. I would use the word redeeming, which really just means he's taking those things that are, we consider hard seasons, and he's using them for our good. And that's just an amazing truth, I think, that we hang on to and should give us hope that God is with us in every season, good and bad. He's there with us, and he has purpose for those seasons.
Well, this is Pearls and Swine. Thanks for listening.
If you guys enjoyed what we talked about today, or you want to hear a replay of any of our other previous podcast episodes, be sure to look for us, Evangel Houghton Podcast, on your Apple or Google devices. You can always check us out on our website, evangelup.org. And if you got any questions or comments or just want to recommend a topic that we chat about, feel free to email us. That's my email, Travis@evangelup.org. Thanks, guys.